Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's start off with the big news of the day, and it happened last night. Drew Brees, tremendous achievement last night in that demolition of the Washington Redskins. He passed Peyton Manning, as everybody knows by now, passed Peyton Manning as the all-time yardage leader in NFL history. And he's now over 72,000 yards. Incredible accomplishment. They had a huge celebration during the game last night. And the debates today were, is Drew Brees a top five all-time quarterback? I think most people would say no. I certainly would say no. And I began to wonder, like, as great as Drew Brees has been, and he's been tremendous, obviously, the numbers, he's going to become the fourth quarterback ever to have more than 500 touchdowns. He needs one more to get there. He's already the yardage leader, as I said. He's already the all-time accuracy leader in terms of completion percentage. But while he's a first ballot Hall of Famer without question, I don't put him on the same level, and I don't think most people do. He's in the same class for sure, but I don't put him on the same level as I do Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, and guys like that, even maybe John Elway. I would say definitely John Elway. And I start to wonder why. Why don't I feel the same way about Drew Brees, even though he's got this great production, as I feel about these guys? I began to look at some numbers. What I found was this. Drew Brees has been a starter for 16 years in the NFL, not including this season. 16 years. In those 16 years, only 8 seasons has his team had a winning record.
So 50% of the time.
50% of the time.
If my math is right.
And when I look at the other great quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, 15 out of 17 years, winning record. Tom Brady, all 16 of his years, winning record. Brett Favre, 15 of 19 years, winning record. Joe Montana, 11 of 12. Aaron Rodgers, 9 of 10. Dan Marino, 12 of 17. I mean, John Elway, 12 of 16. All of these guys, and you know it, Rob, like when you get a franchise quarterback in the NFL, you tend to believe you're going to be a contender for the foreseeable future, for as long as he's there. Now, you might not win a Super Bowl. Brett Favre only won one, but every year his team was a factor, and that goes for all of the all-time great quarterbacks in that upper echelon. And Brees isn't there in terms of wins. And so that is why I believe that myself and other people don't put him on the same pedestal as Manning and Brady and so on and so forth. Because not just Super Bowls, that's not just winning, but just regular season records, making the playoffs, being in contention every single year, Drew Brees just hasn't done it.
And that those are all valid points, and you're not just saying it because he won only one championship. Because people will look at, and you brought him up, Aaron Rodgers, who's only won one championship.
Yep.
And you look at Favre and other guys who've also won one. But I think that record, what you just said, proves that sometimes stats can be misleading. And this is why I've always, you know, Chris, I've come up with the Stat Padford Index about people who put up numbers after the game's already
Matt
been decided.
Yep.
Yeah,
Matt,
you know what I mean? Yep. Right. Matt Stafford has all these incredible numbers. People think he's going to pass Drew Brees at some point.
Well, he's on pace,
right? He's on pace already for yards.
Yep.
And Matt Stafford has exactly how many playoff wins? Zero.
Same as me and you.
Exactly. So do you see what I'm saying? So you got to be careful about stats and thinking that that's the only determining factor for greatness.
Right.
And this
let's face it, in all sports, it comes, well, baseball's a little different because one player, you know, with pitchers and, you know, it just, you can't have as much of an impact on the game.
No.
Like Mike Trout is an all-time great and he's not winning anything. You know, he hasn't won
anything. Right. I'm not saying that you couldn't look at him and know whether or not he's great, but I'm saying it does factor in. You gave all the other examples. See,
yeah,
I could give you
football and basketball.
Right. I could give you all the examples of a lot of great baseball players who didn't win anything. Ted Williams is considered one of the greatest hitters of all time. Went to the playoffs one time in his career.
Right. Right.
You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
but
it's
nobody
different in baseball.
Right, it's different. So you're right about that. But this is the other thing too. When I think about this, I think Drew Brees is kind of like LeBron James. And I'll tell you what I mean, Chris.
Wait. In terms of not winning,
I just of having stats that people point to consider him the greatest, like his stats are through the roof, right? That's all. LeBron has unbelievable stats. He's going to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's going to do all that. But when
leave
you take
it to you to take it too far.
No, I'm just when you
go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and explain. I want to hear this
but
out.
But when you add up everything, because it's not just stats, and that's my point. LeBron James has lost in the NBA Finals. Is it? What is it, six times now? 3-6?
Yes, 3-6.
Six times, and he's the all-time, as I said, he's lost more NBA finals than any other former MVP ever. And that's not to say he's not a great player. Whatever, I've always said he's a great player, Chris, just not the greatest. And the same thing goes with when you talk about Drew Brees. Despite the numbers, you can't make an argument that he's the greatest of all time. You can't. Because it's not just about numbers. And LeBron has numbers. He has all the numbers, but still winning, in this case, supersedes just piling up numbers.
Where I would disagree with you is that there are several places. Number one, LeBron has won three championships. You know, so
one in 10 years in Cleveland.
11, actually. But
yeah. Oh, thanks. One in 11.
He's won three championships, whereas Brees has one Super Bowl. Secondly, remember what I said was it's not just championships.
I didn't say it was just.
No, I know, but I said Brees has only had a winning record 50% of the time. LeBron James, every year, his team is in contention. Now, they don't win it. But every single year, he's in the hunt. He's in contention. So that's where I also would disagree with you.
Well,
and finally, I would say, of course, I don't know anyone that would say Drew Brees is the greatest quarterback of all time. And I wouldn't say, as you and I agree, LeBron is not the greatest player of all time. Mm-hmm. But I think you and I also agree he's the second greatest.
Yeah, but the
difference. And so Brees, I'm saying Brees isn't even in the top five.
Yeah, but the difference is, and my only point is, that people look at and try to use LeBron James' stats, period, to talk about his greatness. And I'm telling you, in the case of Drew Brees, stats aren't just all you can look at. You got to look at the full picture. And that's why I'm saying LeBron, Drew Brees is the NFL's LeBron James.
You got to admit, that's a little far. Because LeBron has won.
Drew Brees has won.
Not only championships.
What's Drew Brees' percentage in the Super Bowl? 1,000, right?
Plural. He's only been there once. LeBron, my main point was not that Brees only has one Super Bowl. It was that half of his career, his teams aren't even a factor. You can't say that about LeBron James. His teams are a factor every single year.
In the Eastern Conference, yes. And the other part,
but
Chris.
But, I mean, hey, they've been an elite team
but let's be
throughout
honest,
his career.
The last 2 years, NBA Finals have been non-competitive. LeBron's team has been not – they've lost – 8 out of 9, and they used the one game they won, they shot like 70% from the field, if you remember that. Remember when they knocked down all those shots. That's the only game that they won, and they haven't been able to win at all or be competitive. Even this past year, I can't remember the player who said it. Somebody said from the Warriors, hopefully the finals will be competitive this year. They're even, like, bored. We got to look that up, Rob G. A Warriors player said it's not even competitive.
If you wanted to say LeBron is like Peyton Manning, I could give you a little more on that. Because Manning only won two Super Bowls, and the one, you know, he wasn't really a huge factor. The defense in Denver was so strong. He wasn't at his best. He was at the end of his career. But every year, his team was a factor.
I get it.
Like, every year they're in the playoffs. Every year they got a chance to win the Super Bowl. That's the same with LeBron. I would look at Breeze more like maybe a Russell Westbrook. You know,
Russell's never won. He's never won.
But
it's not the same.
But my point is, Westbrook's got these huge numbers.
Yeah, but he's never
won. He's the only player ever to average a triple-double in two seasons, ever.
I got all that.
And he doesn't, but his teams aren't always a factor in the championship hunt. Breeze got the one title.
Yes.
That's great.
It separates you. All I'm saying is, for people who just constantly look at LeBron's numbers, I'm just talking about numbers aren't thing that can only determine whether you're the greatest.
Yeah,
because that's
true.
What I'm saying.
Because it's about wins.
And that's what I
should find another guy other than LeBron.
Nah, I like LeBron to be compared to Drew Brees.
But you yourself think LeBron's the second best player of all time, right?
Yeah, I do.
So we're saying he's better than Kareem, better than Magic, better than Bird, Oscar, Wilt, all these guys, Kobe, Shaq. Only Michael Jordan is better. Drew Brees, we're saying, as great as he is, first ballot Hall of Famer, yes, yes, indeed. But he's not on that ultimate upper echelon of quarterbacks.
But I'm telling you
LeBron
that
LeBron is on that upper echelon of players.
Yep, I understand that totally, but I'm talking about the people, not the people who rightly put him in the top five, second or third. Those aren't the people I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who use his stats as the reason he's better than Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Okay, so this is not a Jordan-LeBron conversation. It's about whether or not where stats fit in. And it's a part of the equation, but it's not the total equation. So let 877-99 on Fox is the telephone number. If you want to chime in, if you understand what I'm talking about, you cannot just use those stats of LeBron to determine. And Drew Brees is Exhibit A. Stats don't mean you're great. It's a part of the equation, but
Brees is great.
But it's not.
You're just saying it is
not the greatest.
It's not the only thing you determine.
Wait a minute. You say, hey, he's got the most yards ever. He must be the greatest quarterback who ever played, right? He's got the most yards.
Right.
That's not a determining factor is what I'm trying to say.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I think we figured out why we and most people, with all due respect to Drew Brees, who will be a first ballot Hall of Famer and deservedly so.
We're not knocking his career. I don't want people to think we're doing that.
Not one bit. But most people don't think of him in the light of the Tom Brady, the Joe Montana, the John Elway, Peyton Manning, guys like that. And we figured out why, at least we think so. Only half of his career have his teams had winning records and been relevant, therefore, in the playoff picture. All the other all-time greats ahead of him or on his level even have been a factor a lot more than that.
And I'll say this,
teams.
Chris, this is the other part before people go, well, Tom Brady has a great team and so-and-so has a great team and they have a great team. The one guy I could point to is Aaron Rodgers. You know their defense has been horrible, right? And yet he's won every year. And you know that when he's in the game and playing right, they always have a chance to win no matter what. Would you agree?
Absolutely right.
He's the perfect example.
That's the thing about – I mean, let's be honest. For the most part, there are three teams that every single year in this era are going to be a factor. And that's obviously New England, Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger, and Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl.
But they're in the mix.
You can count on those three teams every single year. Everybody else, they might be there, they might not. When you have that type of elite QB, you're in it every year. And for some reason, Drew Brees hasn't been there. Even Dan Marino, You know, 12 of his 17 years, they had winning records. He didn't have great teams around him all the time.
Nope.
That's the knock on him. Never won a Super Bowl. You know, so we got some callers, though, that want to weigh in. Let's see what they say,
Let's
Rob.
Do that. 877-99 on Fox. If you want to get in, too, Israel in El Paso, Texas. You're on the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. What's happening, man?
All right, guys. Great to be here. You know, I just got to say, you know, Drew Brees, he's a solid, solid guy. You guys the argument is, you know, the wide scope of greatness on the upper echelon, you know, and, you know, we crossed into the basketball arena with LeBron James, and, you know, LeBron's great. You know, Drew Brees isn't LeBron James, but let's not make that comparison. One, because LeBron James is in a sport where you can't, you know, it's driven by one superstar a lot of times, you know, whereas Drew Brees, you know, he's in a place where, you know, he needs the right coaching. He's been stuck in a pretty, you know, mediocre system for a long
but
time.
But wait a minute, Israel, you know, Israel, the only thing I want to disagree with is when we make the case about Aaron Rodgers, you can look at that team and roster and start looking around for the other Pro Bowlers and other guys going to the Hall of Fame, and you'll be hard-pressed to find other guys. Yet, as Chris said, is it 10 out of 11 years or 9 out of 10?
9 out of 10.
Yes, 9 out of 10. They've always had a winning record. That's the difference. You see what I'm saying, Chris?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, because that's what people are going to say about Drew Brees. They're going to look and say, well, he didn't have help. Yeah, obviously, there have been years where their defense has been horrendous, and he hasn't had a lot of help. But again, when we look at the all-time greats, we can say that about them in certain years, and they still found a way to have a winning record.
Exactly.
I'm going to make this comparison, another NBA comparison. I think Drew Brees is a lot like Steve Nash. Nash was a guy who was, you know, it took him a few years to get his bearings. I mean, he was coming off the bench early in his career. And, you know, Brees, obviously, somewhat of a slow starter in San Diego. And then Steve Nash became a really good player, all-star in Dallas, but nothing historically great. He goes to Phoenix, matches up with the perfect coach and system for him, Mike D'Antoni, and boom. He skyrockets into a two-time MVP and clear Hall of Famer. I think Drew Brees and Sean Payton found the perfect coach and perfect system for him, and his career skyrocketed, and he became an all-time great in that system. Had he been in another system, maybe it would have been different. I definitely think it would have been different for Steve Nash, and I think it probably would have been the case for Brees as well. Not that he wouldn't have been great, but maybe just not as productive as he became.
All right, let's take some more calls. Hey, Michael in Miami, you're on the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Michael?
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
What's happening?
So when you're, you know, when you're, as you guys are saying, when you're separating the greats, you have to look under a microscope and look into the details. With some things that people don't talk about, for example, is Drew Brees played in a dome over 60% of his games in perfect weather.
Yep.
And
right.
and also, if you look at his indoor versus outdoor splits, they're pretty much different. The accuracy is pretty close, but touchdowns, interceptions, drops, yardage to drop, and things like Aaron Rodgers plays outdoors all the time. Brady plays outdoors all the time. Manning played most of the time indoors. So these things you have to take under consideration because playing in perfect weather does help.
No doubt,
that's
Michael.
A great point.
Great point.
Excellent point.
No doubt about it.
Yep, no question about that. That stronger arm, obviously, you have to have when you don't know what the weather's going to be.
Right,
like.
The conditions. you want to play in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, Hey, Ben in Iowa, you're on the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
First of all, I heard your comparison to Aaron Rodgers, and you talk about how his team wasn't great around him. But the way I look at it, he's handed, until this year, 4 wins a year. He plays the Lions twice and the Bears twice. That's 4 wins. Write it up.
I think
that sounds good.
That
sounds good, but I bet you, actually, and I'll have our producer check it out, I bet you the Lions have beaten him about 4 or 6 times. You know what I mean? Green Bay doesn't win 2 games against the Lions every year. They don't.
And beyond that, in the NFL, I mean, teams, you know, one year they're great, the next year they're not. I mean, Carolina goes up and down. New Orleans is in the division with Tampa Bay.
Right.
And Atlanta's been bad for a lot of years. I mean,
they're better now, the last few years.
Yeah, but they haven't been great for the last 12 years. You know, so I think you can look at, you know, I don't think that's an issue.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
But, Rob, I might just trash Angel Hernandez. I'm not sure yet. But this umpire who has a lawsuit against Major League Baseball where he is alleging racism, and he's from Cuba, he's Cuban, and he is alleging racism and why he's never been given the opportunity to umpire a World Series.
World Series.
Yeah, World Series. Or he was never promoted to crew chief. And I tell you what happened last night is not going to help his case. Because
that's proof positive, I'll tell you that.
He missed four calls. Well, three. Four of his calls at first base, he was the first base umpire last night in the Red Sox-Yankees game. Four of them were reviewed. Three of them were overturned. And reportedly, after one was overturned, he said to Luke Voit, the Yankees first baseman, I'm going to get the next one right.
Oh,
so
no.
So he has been getting shamed and memed and everything on Twitter and social media. And reporters, the regular media is killing him with good reason. But, Rob, I think, and I don't know, I don't think they have the technology for umpires.
No, I got it. Yeah, let me give you first before we get there.
Okay.
He's a terrible umpire and has been for a long time. Now, his lawsuit, I'm not saying
he's
the
saying
merits
in the lawsuit,
of it and all
he's
that.
He's always gotten positive evaluations.
But, Chris, as a guy, you know me, I watch a lot of baseball.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, I've seen so many games where, like, a ridiculous call and not even knowing who the umpire is, I just say to myself, is that Angel Hernandez out there? You know what I mean? At second base?
Right.
And I'm telling you, and I can't, I don't have the percentages, and I know that they review these guys, but he has, I've seen him personally miss a lot of calls and make a lot of mistakes. And tonight, of all places, in a closeout game, he's behind home plate tonight.
Unbelievable.
He's behind home plate tonight in a huge game. I don't know what his strike zone's going to be. I don't know how consistent he's going to be. But I'll tell you this, just from I'm just talking about from watching over the years, I think he's a bad umpire and has been for a long time. So for you to be in a playoff game and have three calls, not one, Chris, not two, not three.
Right.
What are,
and
even
if
LeBron
challenged?
Not three,
if they hadn't been
four,
challenged,
not five.
Right.
They would have. They would have changed. They could have changed the course of the game. I mean,
I don't know about 16-1.
Right,
I don't know if it could have changed
route,
the game
but
totally. But you
but
know
you
what
never
I mean,
know.
Right? No,
yeah.
I know it could have shut off one of the big innings that they
right.
had. I'm with you, but that's too many mistakes for you to be an umpire, and that's the problem with it. I'm sorry. A lot of these guys, you got to be able to fire guys when they don't perform. Nobody's asking him to be perfect. But three calls to be reversed in one night, you know, these are
And then your reward is you get to be the plate umpire in the next game.
That's just the rotation. But you know what I mean, the way they rotate the umpires.
Okay, so they couldn't change that?
No.
I guess
no.
they wouldn't
You know
do
what
that
I mean? If you're at first and you go to home and then you go to third, it's just a rotation that's set. It's not based on anything else. But these are not like judgment calls. These are just you watch the play and make the call. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And look, Rob, that's why, you know, they obviously, Major League Baseball, they're experimenting with robot umpires.
No.
Hold on. You know, Rob Manfred has said that they are experimenting. The technology is getting better. They're getting to the point where they're close to being able to call balls and strikes, you know, consistently and all that. Now, I don't think they have any of that technology for the base umpires. But at the plate, look, Rob, I'm for the robot umpire. I'm sorry. Like, a strike and a ball should not be left up to an umpire who has his own strike zone that doesn't line up with the official strike zone.
No, but if everybody's played this way from the standpoint of just be consistent. If you're calling the high strike tonight, I know it. If
Is
you're
it
calling
a strike,
the low
though?
Strike, well, I'm
if
just saying.
If it's not a strike, but I grew zone, up my whole life and it's not a strike.
But
just because
no,
this
but the zone
says
is,
it's a strike, now it's a strike?
But the zone is, by the letter of the law, the zone is top of the chest, right?
The letters,
to the knees. But, Chris, nobody
but
calls
never,
that strike
no,
zone.
I
nobody.
Know. I know. That's my point. I grew up playing baseball being told the letters is the top
to the
of the
knees.
Strike zone. They never call that.
No, it's too
You're
high.
Right. They never called it. I mean, and so my thing is, look, a strike zone is like an end zone. There's the end zone doesn't move based on the referee.
But Chris, I'll give you this. Before
it
you
should
get,
be based, it should be objective, but, not but, based on this one guy.
But Chris, before you go into this and about technology and all this other stuff, the only problem I gotta say is even with the NFL and replay, they get it wrong. How many times have you watched an NFL game where they do the replay and still botch it? You know
That's
why?
The human element.
Yes, because there's humans involved. And
but if there was a robot
robots
umpire,
malfunction,
we assume you would take the human element out of it.
No, I don't believe in that. Humans are playing. I'm okay. I don't want a robot to play third base so he never misses a ground ball. I don't want.
Oh, that's
I don't
playing
want a pitch,
the game. No, no.
Why
the
not
game
get a pitching
made,
machine? Get a pitching
game
machine.
The is made up of mistake because that's a part
why?
Of the game.
Why this guy?
An
the pitching
umpire and Rob, an umpire having his own strike zone is not part of the game.
The pitching machine would throw strikes every time. Let's just go with a pitching machine, and we don't need an umpire. Every
no,
pitch would
because,
be a strike
because a quality pitcher or a weak pitcher is part of the game. I don't. The pitching machine would take away a pitcher. I'm not talking about taking away a player, taking away the human aspect of players, but I'm talking about when an umpire should not be able to affect the game if we have the technology. And these guys are able to affect the game, impact the game.
I just give me the World Series other than, what was it, the Cardinals and Kansas City where there was a bad call at first base that probably changed it. But other than that, it doesn't happen that often. Where umpires
well,
change the game.
Well, for a lot of years, we may not have known. I mean, if we didn't have replay, we wouldn't have known Angel Hernandez got all these calls wrong.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. I'm not at that point now. I don't think there's anything wrong with the game. There are bad doctors. There are bad talk show hosts. There are bad sports writers. There are bad lawyers. There are bad mayors. There are bad presidents. There's bad everything, and that's just a part of life. So I'm not expecting my baseball to be perfect. I'm not looking for that. I just want you to
Nobody's
do a competent job,
play,
a good job.
The play to be perfect, but we do want the game to be as fair as possible. And if you take out the human, if we have the technology to get the calls right all the time,
what
or
is
at least
this?
As much as possible, why wouldn't we do it?
The $6 million man, we have the technology. We can build the man. He's faster, stronger, bigger. No.
I mean, why wouldn't we do it? I mean, I've long had a problem with this floating strike zone. That's really the only thing. You can leave the umpires at the bases, you know, humans at the bases and all that. I don't even know if they have the technology to do anything with
why?
That
Why? We could just have somebody on television watch, and you don't need any of the umpires. I can watch.
No, because we need umpires at the bases to make these calls. Again, Chris, I don't think they have the technology.
When you
Rob,
play,
why? Okay.
When look, you play softball,
so
we don't have umpires.
First of all, let's not compare rec softball.
No, I'm just saying.
World
I can
Series,
make the,
Major League
I can make the
players.
Call without umpires at first, for the most part. I mean, once in a while, there'll be a close one. Right,
but Rob. I look. My problem has been with the strike zone going all over the place.
Hey,
based
let's
on
get
the,
let's
the
get
umpire.
Some. Let's let me throw out the number.
But let me say this. Hit us up at 877-99 on Fox if you want to weigh in. I'm not trying to take humans. I'm not bent on taking humans out of the umpiring or referee ranks. I am bent on them having one strike zone. consistent. I don't care who's behind the plate as the umpire. The strike zone should not change, just like the end zone does not change. The height of the rim does not change. The base pass, the length of the base pass does not change. Why in the world does the strike zone change based on who's umpiring?
The stadiums aren't the same. Fenway Park
that's
isn't
fine,
the same dimension as Yankee Stadium.
That's different than the strike zone, Rob. Give us a call, 877-99-FOX. I think this will be an interesting topic for people. That's been my position. I don't care. You don't have to have a robot umpire.
I don't want to live in this world where we have to have an umpire. Guys have called. There are good umpires out there. All I want is a consistent umpire. I don't need a perfect umpire. I just want to know where the strike zone is tonight. And I can hit from there. And that's all that players are looking for.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We're joined by five-time NBA All-Star. And I call him. I want to hear him see if he wants to take this title. He is the innovator and the creator of the modern-day crossover dribble. I'm talking about none other than Tim Hardaway. Did I get that right? Because you always texting me like, don't forget me. I created the crossover and all that.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Don't forget me. Keep me in the mix. Make sure everybody understand I am the killer crossover king. Yeah.
That's right. That's
What's
right.
happening, Tim? You all right?
Nothing much, man. Everything cool, man. I can't complain. Just ready for the season to start.
Right, Tim. Let's start right there. Look, I don't know if you feel this way. I think most people feel this way, that Golden State is going to win this championship. Tell me if you think differently. But I think, Tim, that because this could be their last hurrah together.
We know Kevin Durant might leave.
He might leave, whatever. But my point, Tim, is I think they should go out there and try to win 74 games and win the championship and leave no doubt and make a strong argument that they are the best team ever. Do you think they should go about it that way or just, you know, coast, win their 60-something games, and then try to win a championship?
You know what? I'm thinking the way you're thinking. You know, let's go out with a bang. Let's go out and win 70, 75 games if we can. Let's go out here and win the championship again if we can. But the main thing is we got to stay healthy. And you know what? They got to stop arguing with the referees. They got to stop getting in arguments with, you know, trying to get into the referee's head. Leave the referees alone. Go out there and play the way you can. Like the last six games of the Western Conference Finals and the four games that you swept the Cavaliers, that's how they should play each and every game. Take that initiative each and every game. Go out there with an attitude. Go out there showing everybody we are the best. That's why we are the champions. And we're going to show y'all why we are the champions, because we on a mission to win it again. And if I was them, I would take that approach. Why not take that approach? You know, that would set a precedence for everybody.
Tim, I hate to be the bearer of bad news and sour grapes, but do you like this NBA where we already know who the champion is already? This is the fifth year in a row that they'll go to the NBA Finals, and that hasn't happened since the 50s and 60s, I think, with the Celtics back in the day when there were eight teams. Is this a good NBA where we already know who's going to win the championship?
I think this is great NBA. We think we know who's going to win the championship, and everybody in the league think they know that the Golden State Warriors are going to win the championship. So why don't these teams come out here and prove everybody wrong? Come out here, play hard, play to win, play together, and try to win, you know, and beat them in the playoffs. That's what it's all about. Nothing else. And make everybody be wrong about their predictions.
Well, good luck with that.
Because the prediction is, I know. Good luck with that. But I'm going to tell you, man, you know, Chris Paul, if he wasn't hurt, I think they would have got him. Even though I'm Golden State Warriors
fan. So you
fan,
giving Houston
I have
a chance?
They won. I think that Chris Paul was a big difference when he was out and when he was in there playing. that they missed his leadership. They missed his, you know, his scoring ability, his ability to get other people involved. They missed all of that.
They missed 27 three-pointers in a row. That's what they missed.
You know, they missed 27 three-pointers in a row, but you still miss Chris Paul not being out there.
Are you giving Houston a legitimate chance? Not, you know, anything can happen, but a legitimate chance to beat Golden State this year?
Well, you know what? I'm not giving them a chance anymore, a legitimate chance anymore, because, you know, they lost Ariza. Ariza was a big part of their team, man. I'm talking about defensively, slasher. You know, he did like something what my man from Golden State does for them, and he Iguodala does for them. Yep, does for them. He comes in there, he just plays hard each and every night. He makes shots when he needs to make shots. He plays great defense on who he needs to play defense on, the best player on the team or what have you. And, you know, I think they're going to miss his presence big time on a defensive end and some on the offensive end by slashing and making and getting them second chance points too.
Tim, if the Warriors do win it this year, does Kevin Durant need to go somewhere else and at least try to win a championship to get that ultimate respect?
You know, I mean, everybody's talking about ultimate respect. You know, I think Kevin Durant, to me, he already has the ultimate respect. I mean, can't nobody stop him. He's shown that. The Golden State Warriors give him the ball because they know can't nobody stop him in the league, and he make buckets for them. That's why they win. That's why they won game 6 and 7 against Houston, and that's why they won the championship and won 4-0 against the Cavaliers. Can't nobody stick Kevin Durant, man. I don't care who think they can. He can dribble the ball. He get to the on the court where he needs to get on the court. He makes the shots where he needs to make the shots, and he make threes. I mean, he's a triple threat every time he gets the ball all the time. And, I mean, to me, I think he has the ultimate respect, but I think that people don't want to give him that respect because he went to the Golden State Warriors. I don't think he has nothing to prove. I just think that he just go out there and play and keep winning. But, you know, you never know. He might get bored there. He might want – I don't know if he wants to leave. I don't know. I don't know what's in his mind. I don't know how he's thinking. But I would just be thinking this year, winning the championship, winning, you know, if he can, winning MVP, and go from there.
It's the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. Our guest, Tim Hardaway, 5-time NBA All-Star. Tim, here in Los Angeles – you know, there's the big talk about Lonzo playing with LeBron or whatever. Tell me about what do you think about Lonzo as a player, and B, who's going to be the starting point guard when the playoffs start? Will it be Lonzo or will it be Rajon Rondo?
Well, you know, I like Lonzo. I think he's a good, really good basketball player. Last year he got hurt. He was in and out the lineup. And sometimes you coming out of college – and, you know, it's a rigorous road trips and rigorous schedule, and it's tough on your body. His body didn't respond to the way it needed to respond. I think this year it's going to respond. He's stronger. He's much more mature. Hopefully he has his jump shot a lot better than what it looks, you know, because, that, I mean, come on, man, it's ugly. It's ugly.
It is ugly, no doubt about it.
Hopefully he has worked on that with his form to get that better. But I think, you know, down the line, he's going to learn from Rajon Rondo. Down the line, I don't know how, what it's going to be, if he's going to start, if he's not going to start, in and out the line. I don't know how it's going to be, but that's the guard of the future, and you know you're gonna have a guard there that's been in it, that has won a championship, knows how to win a championship, knows how to play the game of basketball without scoring. You know, he could go in there and play defense, rebound, and assist, and you know, and get you 5, 6, 7 points and still win the game. So, you know, I think he has a valuable guy in Rondo. So, you know, I think it go either way, but I think he should learn and don't worry. I think he should not worry about if I'm starting. Worry about I'm finishing the game.
So you know,
I'm in there to finishing the game, and that's what's important. Finishing the game and being there at the end when it makes a difference.
Tim, I'm predicting 53 wins and LeBron's the MVP for the Lakers. What's your prediction? What type of season you think the Lakers gonna have, and who's your MVP prediction?
53 wins. So how many wins they have last year?
35. So basically, he's giving them a 2018 win tick up in the Western Conference.
Wow.
You obviously don't think so.
I'm gonna say this. You know, LeBron has brought a different demeanor to that team. They looking more and more confident than ever. You can see their swag is a little bit different than last year. They had a little swag, but their swag is a lot better than it was last year. So I would say over 45, 46. I give him about 46, 47 wins. And, you know, you can't never count LeBron out for being MVP. I mean, he's looking strong, you know, each and every year, and he's looking even better now just in preseason. Barring injuries, I would say that it'd be him and KD for MVP. But, I've never been against LeBron.
All right, Tim, man, great job. We appreciate it, man, and we're looking forward to a great season just like you are.
No question. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of energy and a lot of buildings, especially, you know, since LeBron is gone from out east here.
Right.
You know, it's just a toss-up now, so people, you know, thinking that they got a chance now. You know, Toronto thinking they have a chance.
Who
Boston
you got,
thinking
Boston?
They have a chance.
You got Boston,
If Boston stay healthy, I got Boston all the way, man. If they stay healthy, they got so much firepower, it's ridiculous, man. I mean, they go any of those, you know, five guys get hot, and then everybody else fall right into place, you know, any given night. So,
right.
You know, I got Boston coming out the East, and no question if they stay healthy.
All right, my man. Thanks for joining the
Appreciate
iCouple.
It.
We'll have you again on down the road.
No question. Thank you. Appreciate it. Y'all take care.